fly down notes. Excellent. Okay, so we're in the final one of the Beatitudes series. So tonight we're looking at Blessed Are the Persecuted. And when I was preparing for this, I wondered what it would be like if someone would respond to the Beatitudes today. So I've kind of written a bit of a script. It's very cynical. It's like a very cynical response to the Beatitudes. And hopefully it'll show some relevance later on. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Relying on someone else? Being humble? Nah, it doesn't work. You've got to make yourself better. You've got to get educated. You've got to get trained. You've got to sort yourself out. You've got to go for it. You've got to look out for yourself. No one else is going to look after you. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, I suppose there's a time for grief, isn't there? But you've got to just get on with it, haven't you? Move on with your life. Blessed are the meek. Really? Is this guy having a laugh? You're going to get trampled on in this world if you're meek. You've got to be strong. You've got to stand up for yourself. No one ever got a job from an interview because they were meek. They've got to put their best selves forward at every moment. No, that's not going to work. Hunger for righteousness? I'm not even sure what that means. Merciful? Nah, showing mercy is weak, isn't it? You've got to fight back. After all, it says an eye for an eye. Pure in heart? What am I, some kind of teenager signing up to some true love waits rally? Forget that. What a load of rubbish that is. Peacemakers? Okay, that one's all right, I guess. I like peace. Peace is good. As long as I don't have to do anything, I suppose. Blessed are the persecuted. Right, that's it, isn't it? This is ridiculous. Is he for real? Oh, yeah, what a joy it would be to be persecuted. Oh, yeah. What a joke. What a joke. Right. That's just like a bit of a kind of pithy introduction to this evening, but hopefully it'll show some relevance a bit later on. So, tonight is Blessed Are the Persecuted. So, let's get up. I'm attempting to use technology, which is dangerous, yeah, exactly. Let's see how we get on. Okie doke. So, what's the reading for this evening? Okie doke. So, verse 10. This is Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thank you, Dake. So let's get stuck in then. So what is Jesus talking about here? So it's not just any old persecution. He gets very specific. So there's persecuted because of righteousness, and there's persecuted because of Jesus. So very, very quickly, what is righteousness then? So righteousness, I believe, is being right with God, being one with the Lord, which only requires perfection, by the way. But thankfully, Jesus has taken care of that for us. Our own holiness, our own righteousness, our imperfection, all of that has been dealt with when he died on the cross. And did you know that when God looks at you, he sees you as his child, righteous, holy, and clean? So just remember that next time you look in the mirror. And if you want more details on that, listen to Chris's sermon this morning, because he fleshes out a little bit of what that is. So that's really encouraging, so do check that out again. But yeah, okay. So those are kind of some holy words there, some biblical words. And what does that actually mean in real terms to be righteous for me today? And I think what it means is valuing what God values. So how do we know what God values? Read the book. I haven't actually got the book, but the book being the Bible. And the pedants of you out there might be saying, well, actually, it's 66 books. Very clever. In which case, maybe that's too big. It's too big. I can't read 66 books, can I? I'll tell you what, why don't you just start with the New Testament instead then, as a start for 10. Maybe that's even too big, even that's too long. In fact, just start with Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. That's going to get you started, at least. Maybe that's too much even so. So let's just go to chapter 5 to start reading the Sermon on the Mount. That'll get you going. Maybe that's too long too, actually. Just go for the Beatitudes, and that will at least get you started to see what it is that God values. And if you've been following the evening series, I've only been to a few, but if you've been to most of them, all of them, you can probably tick that off because we've done all the Beatitudes as this series has gone on. And I'm going to try and read them out later as well. So the Beatitudes is just a brilliant glimpse. That's all it is, but it is a glimpse of what it is that God values. And to be righteous, I think, is to try and get in line with that. Okay. So, what's the other reason for persecution? It's Jesus. Because you love Jesus. Because you follow Jesus. Because you behave like Jesus. Because you tell others about Jesus. You can only really be persecuted for anything, really, if someone else knows what it is. You can't be persecuted for loving Jesus if nobody knows you love Jesus. And when I was writing this, I came up with a very difficult question to ask myself, and I'll reflect it to you. When was the last time you told someone else that you loved Jesus? You're not going to be persecuted for being lukewarm or for being neutral. Spoiler alert, there's going to be a football analogy coming up. I couldn't help myself. But if you're a neutral fan and you're watching any kind of sport, you can't lose, really, can you? It's brilliant. And I liken it to watching a penalty shootout. There's been quite a few in this World Cup. But if you're a neutral and you're watching a penalty shootout, I think it's brilliant. It's great. As long as England aren't in it, I love it. It's brilliant. It's great fun. There's good drama, dramatic, if you like that kind of thing. And at the end of it, there's no disappointment because you didn't really care anyway. So you can't lose if you're a neutral fan. Great. That's brilliant. When you kind of flip that on its head, you can't win either. When you look at the telly and you see someone's won a penalty shootout, unless you're the fan of that team, you're not really feeling the win. You're not really feeling the joy. So it was great that England won the penalty shootout, so I can refer to this. So just watching that penalty shootout for England, whenever it was, and they won one for once, it was just so... I could barely watch it beforehand. I was so tense and I was just so... I don't know, I get agitated about those kind of things. I could literally barely watch it. But then they scored, they won it, and it was just like the elation. But you only have that elation and that feel that win if you're kind of invested, if you've got a team to shout for, if you've got a team to kind of to win for. And why am I talking about winning? I'm sure you've kind of heard an expression like being all in, or all or nothing, or being in it to win it, or insert your own kind of cliche here. But something along those lines. I'm just going to read a few verses from Hebrews 12, verses 1-3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." One of the big challenges to me, and hopefully for you too, is that I want to be all in for Jesus in my life. I love this kind of race metaphor that the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. And to kind of paraphrase that tiny little section, is basically life is a race, so race to win. And how do we achieve that? And this is where it kind of comes back full circle to the passage I'm supposed to be looking at. It says, verse 2 of the Hebrews passage, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus is how we achieve that." So again, we come back to being persecuted for knowing Jesus. And that's how I want to live my life. But how those three verses there is a real challenge to me, and hopefully it is to you also. I want to live my life to win for Jesus, by fixing my eyes on Jesus. And if I do that, then I probably should expect persecution in my life. Why? Because that kind of life is distinctive. It's righteous. It's countercultural. We've kind of flipped back to this cynical character that I've made up. But some of that is true in this culture today, I believe. And the words of Jesus, saying, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, those who are poor in spirit. It sounds like a joke, really. It is very countercultural, I believe. I'm even going to use the R word and say it's revolutionary. And we'll kind of come back to that as well later on as well. And kind of the underlying question that came to me from this, and a bit of a challenge, is can we change the world? But this is Jesus' mission. It's not our mission, certainly not my mission. This is Jesus' mission. We're here because of that mission. And we're also here to be a part of it, to continue it, especially with hope going on at the moment. So, can I change the world? Can you change the world? Well, I can only speak for myself, but of course I can't. But Jesus can. Jesus did. He's already done it. So that's where we've got to try and focus our gaze. Okay, I'm going to move on to opposition. And I've got to try and rein myself in here because this goes a little bit off tangent, but hopefully it will all come together. But I want to talk about opposition just a little bit because I think it might be linked to persecution. You know, we are in a war, a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. And I used to think of the spiritual war as the devil or the enemy attacking me, and me kind of defending myself, or me, he's going to attack me with temptations, or I don't know, whatever it might be. That used to be how I used to think of this kind of spiritual war that's kind of going on out there. But Matthew 16, verse 18, that's Jesus speaking to Simon. He says this. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's hard not to sing that. We should sing that song at the end. We're not going to. But what am I talking about here? So last time I checked, gates don't attack anybody. Gates are stationary. What am I saying? Jesus, when he says this, and forgive me if I'm taking his verse out of context here, but I believe there's truth in it, that Jesus is saying that the church is on the ascendancy here. The church is the one that is making ground, is the one that's advancing. The kingdom of heaven, is the one that is advancing. And we're kind of taking ground from the kingdom of from the gates of hell. And it says the gates will crumble, Jesus says. And it's like that idea that we're kind of storming the gates of hell as we do our mission. You know, we're not defending ourselves. We're on the ascendancy here. The war's already been won. So we're already on the winning side. And that kind of excites me a little bit. So what has any of this got to do with anything that I'm supposed to be talking about this evening? Well, how does the church advance against the gates of hell? I believe there's three kind of simple answers here. Firstly, by spreading the good news of Jesus, like we are doing at Hope. Or in other ways too, but that's one of the basics we need to be doing. We need to be praying for non-believers. Well, we need to be praying full stop, but we need to be praying for non-believers to be saved. And we need to be living a distinctive and a righteous life, and we get that by reading the Bible. I'm amazed and a little bit disappointed that the main points of my last few talks that I've done seem to be read the Bible and pray, which seems to be so obvious. So it's obviously a lesson for me, which I guess it will continue. Hopefully I'll get better, but hopefully it's a lesson for us all as well. It's not just me. But it does come down to those basics, doesn't it? Let's get into our Bibles. Let's understand what it is that God is about. Let's try and live a distinctive life. Let's be praying for our friends, our family. Let's be actively spreading the good news of Jesus. Let's get stuck into Hope. Let's get stuck into anything that spreads the good news. And if we're looking at it as advancing or attacking or defending, these are our weapons here. There's no physical weapons or anything like that, but these are our weapons. Reading the Bible, praying, spreading the word of Jesus. Those are our three main attacks, if you like. And if we do those things, the enemy's going to fight back. I believe that's kind of how it links back to persecution. It's only when we're kind of advancing against the enemy that the enemy is going to bother fighting us, because otherwise we're not making any ground. So are we doing that? Are we doing those things? And if we are doing them, are we ready to face opposition, maybe persecution? Okey-doke. So what kind of persecution is there today? I had a bit of a look on the Open Doors website to kind of do a bit of research here. And I haven't got a lot of details to share with you, but I would recommend you go on there. So they've got a part of their website that's got 50 countries, the top 50 countries where Christians are persecuted for their faith. And you can click on a country and you can find out lots of details about the churches in that country, about the kind of the leaders, all sorts of other religions, other ideologies, all sorts of things. You can find out just about situations that Christians face in those countries. And you can also find out about our brothers and sisters who live in these places and exactly what actual challenges do they face. And you can kind of get really stuck into the details. And I'm just kind of highlighting that as a thing for us to kind of hopefully go away and take. It's certainly a challenge to me to be praying for our family, really. Even if we don't think about them or know much, let's get educated ourselves. Let's go and find out what it is that they're facing so we can lift them up. So this is a 2018 problem, is kind of what I've put here. And according to the Premier, have you heard of Premier Radio, the kind of Christian radio station, on their website, it says, in January last year, it says the CEO of Open Doors said that it is not unthinkable that the UK won't be on that top 50 list in a few years' time. Well, there's lots of things that could kind of come out of that and be unpacked, which we haven't really got time to get into this evening. But I did want to ask the question, have you ever felt persecuted because you are a Christian? Do you believe there is persecution in the UK? Should the church, underline the word should the church be facing persecution in the UK? If we're living that distinctive, righteous life, following God, being all in for Jesus, we're going to attract attention, aren't we? So it's probably a debate that we could roll on all night if we kind of let it. And if you want to discuss it afterwards, then obviously feel free to talk about it. But it's quite an interesting thought. But I just wanted to highlight it, that it's a huge issue for other countries. But that doesn't mean it's limited to that. We should try and engage with that issue as much as we can, whether we face persecution actively or not. How does that come about? How do we respond? Well, let's move on to how we respond. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of highlight that this is something that we probably ought to grapple with ourselves. Okay. So how should we respond then to persecution? I'll get the reading up, but I believe that effectively says rejoice and be glad, obviously. What else would you do to persecution? Let's read the verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you have to bear with me whilst I juggle around to a different script. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14 says this. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And sorry, just one other verse. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Very kind of brief snippet. This is obviously a tiny section of the text and only half the verse, but it says, run in such a way as to get the prize. So what we're looking at, how do we rejoice and be glad as a response to persecution? And I want to suggest that we try and do one thing. We try to maintain an eternal perspective. We try to, our eyes on the prize. I like those kind of, the idea that we've got to be focused. We've got to be focused on the end goal. We've got to be looking towards eternity. We've got to be looking towards Jesus. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. This earth is temporary. Our lives are short, but heaven is forever. We've got to try and recall that there's a bigger picture, there's a bigger plan going on. And I was talking earlier about this being countercultural. Well, how's this for countercultural? Life is not about you. Life is not about you. It's about Jesus, and it's about his coming kingdom. So what does this mean just for now then? What can we take away from this? I'm going to read a kind of list of questions. Hopefully help us to kind of maybe one or two things will really kind of stick with you. I know certainly God has been challenging me from preparing for this, but so hopefully it's spoken to you too. But yeah, I'm going to read a kind of a list of questions. There are all sorts of questions. But if one does resonate with you, if you feel like God has been speaking to you about one of these things or maybe something else entirely, try and do something with that. Try and maybe tell someone this evening. I guess the most important thing is don't leave it here. If you feel that there is something that God is really saying to you, don't just leave it on your seat when you leave. Which, if I'm honest, is what I do a lot of the time. It's a big challenge to me to kind of take this in, take this for real. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to list these questions. And then I'm going to read through the Beatitudes, because I think it's been a brilliant series. And again, if anything kind of resonates, I'm going to leave a short gap, and then I'll kind of pray to finish. And then, is it okay if I introduce the last song? Is that okay, cool. So let's go for it. Let's read these questions. So this is kind of really a time of reflection. I'm going to read through, and then we're going to read the list through. Okay. So what does it mean for you now? Do you believe you can change the world? Are you ready to go all in for Jesus? Even if that brings persecution. Are you attracting any persecution or opposition now? What can you do to pursue righteousness, to live a distinctive lifestyle? What are you going to do differently tomorrow morning that will deepen your relationship with Jesus? And maybe how can you support your family, your brothers, your sisters across the world who face persecution? Certainly checking out the Open Doors website is one thing you can do and pray. There's lots of other things. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. is to spend a bit of personal time in reflection before I finish off by praying. Lord, you are a God who wants to be involved in our lives. Lord, I believe you want to be involved in my life. You've been speaking to me. Lord, I trust that you've been speaking to everyone else here as well, whether it be for a song, for anything I've said, or maybe you've just been speaking something completely different, Lord. Whatever it is that you're trying to say to us this evening, as a church, as a collective church, but also individually. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to take you seriously, Lord. Help us to put you first. Amen.